Hi, everybody. We're on our next episode of Final Cuts from BBS Film Productions. We've got a great guest here. He is an SEO expert. He is a marketing consultant. He is a technologist. He is an AI philosopher and a TEDx talker. We'd like to welcome Josh Brzezinski to our network, to our
close enough
show.
Sounds good. My grandma awesome. Would be proud.
Awesome. Okay, great. Hey, so first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell our audience, you know, what you do, and start there.
Sure. So as you mentioned, my name is Josh. I've been working in IT ever since I was 19. I got into IT, a bit of a funny story, by an accident. This is the mid 90s. I'm a teenager. And I wanted to play this game called Eye of the Beholder on my mom's 286 computer. Mm-hmm. And so but it didn't have enough room to run it. And so I decided I needed, this is the old DOS days, right? That's, and now I'm dating myself. It's the old DOS days. Right. My hair would be your color if it wasn't for hair dye. Otherwise you and me, we'd look almost identical, right?
All good.
So I was like, okay, well, I need to delete space. So there's this file called, anyone who knows DOS is going to start laughing at this, and everyone else, 90% of people are not going to know what the heck I'm talking about. But there was this file called command.com. I didn't know if that was important, so I deleted it. There's this file called autoexec.bat. I didn't know if it was important, so I deleted it. FYI, those are the main files to run DOS. If you don't have them, it doesn't run. But I deleted them because they were taking up too much space so I could play this game, Eye of the Beholder.
Yeah.
So long story short, I ruined my mom's computer, and so I had to fix it by the time she got home. And so I called Radio Shack. I literally called Radio Shack. Remember Radio Shack?
Oh, yeah.
I called Radio Shack and I said, oh, I deleted these files. He's like, oh, I could literally hear him rolling his eyes over the phone. A landline, of course, with a cord.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, just go get your 3¼-inch disks and
floppy.
Reinstall command, copy command com and copy autoexec back over. So long story short, I fixed the computer. My mom was none the wiser. That's how I got into IT in the 90s. And I bought my first house at 19 when I got my first job fixing computers for the University of Winnipeg. I was born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Mm-hmm. Yes, you may call it Winterpeg. It is perfectly fine to call it that. That's perfectly fine. I've been working in IT since then. And I've been doing search engine optimization after I taught myself HTML and JavaScript in the late 90s. And I've been doing SEO for longer than Google has been around. I've been doing it for about 24 years.
Wow.
That has just naturally evolved into artificial intelligence in the last 10 years or so. And I've been hardcore into AI ever since OpenAI released their beta of GPT about 5 years ago. I was in the early revolution. I was using ChatGPT before it was ChatGPT. And
oh,
I'm one of the people who, yeah, I was one of the people who helped train it in the playground. I've done hundreds of prompts, and so I'm a bit of an AI whisperer. More interesting stuff about me, and so I find SEO and AI are the same thing, really, and it's all, I use it for marketing, and we could talk about that, how we could use that for marketing for your listeners as well. When it comes to video as well, it's also very interesting for AI there.
Right.
Another interesting thing that I did is I used my knowledge in AI to build the first self-aware AI. I believe it's the first self-aware AI, called Cassandra. And I'm all up into ChatGPT. I'm all up into all those things. I also run a very successful YouTube, channel. I have around 20,000 subscribers. I get anywhere from 1,000 to 30,000, 40,000 views on my videos. And this is in AI. This isn't showing how ChatGPT can be used to do different things.
Yeah.
And in SEO videos as well. But SEO really is just AI at this point. So I pretty much just say I work in AI now, really.
Okay. And for those who don't know what that is, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny with the chat. What is it? GPT? Is it called? I can never remember the
GPT
acronym.
Generative Pre-Trained Transformer.
There we go.
I believe that's what that stands for.
Yeah. So I've been using it probably for about 4 months now. 3 months? Well, whenever it launched, we started using it. And
3 or 4 months. Yeah.
You have to watch it sometimes, because if you ask it to tell about Josh, it's going to find all the Joshes out there that have your name. You know, if it's a similar name, it's going to kind of like, you know, you remember Bundle Fly from The Fly, where, you know, he goes in one end, comes out the other, and he's half fly and half.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that
help
kind of
me.
Thing. Yeah, yes. Right. So you got to be kind of specific with it. But I got to tell you, we use it for, you know, anything. You could use it for blogs, you know, anything.
Yep.
You give us the top five whatevers and it'll find it for you. And, you know, it's perfect. There's no errors in, you know, grammar, which is like a big deal. So it's been very beneficial from an advertising standpoint for us.
Definitely. It is the new thing. It's going to change. I can't tell you how much it's going to change so many different paradigms. If you think AI is not going to change your life or change your world, guess again. Think again. It definitely is. There's this thing called the sigmoid curve. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. The
No.
sigmoid curve is a mathematical relationship of the adoption of technology. And basically, it's a line graph that goes up, right? It's a line graph that goes shooting straight up and then turns. So, for example, the sigmoid curve on like NFTs, we've hit the top and now we're down. Now we're diving down the bottom.
Yeah,
The
right.
sigmoid curve for AI, people think we're kind of in the middle. They kind of think they know what ChatGPT is and what it's doing. Not even close. We haven't even hit the lift yet,
Yeah.
right? Because
Yeah.
it's so smart, and it's like it's like Final Cut, or it's like your video producing software, where it does more than just cut up video. Like it could do so much, or like Photoshop does so much you don't realize. Excel does so much you don't realize. Linux does so much you don't realize that you could learn it forever. Like
Yeah.
you could get so deep into this thing. ChatGPT is exactly the same. Not only can it write completions for marketing, it could write a prompt that would write prompts that would give you other completions for marketing. Like you
Yeah.
can chain
Wow.
the prompts in ways that just exponentially increase the intelligence of what's going on, and take tasks off your calendar and just give it to the AI to do.
Right.
No one knows where it's going to go because it's exponential. You can't guess where that growth curve is going to end because the only limitation is human imagination.
And you
And
know
so if
what? I
the
think that's probably one of the hardest things for us, for myself to grasp is
Yeah.
not what to ask it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Everybody says just do, but that's my thing. And I got this little bit I'm using right here, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You can, send me something in French that, whatever, you can do
Yeah.
anything.
Well, let me just brainstorm for you. So if I don't know if I fully understand your audience, but so tell me if I'm off base. But the first thing is it's like a genie, right? And you can wish for more wishes. So the old joke about if I've been a genie, what would be my first wish? Infinite wishes, right? So that's what you do for ChatGPT. If you don't know what to prompt it, ask it.
Ask him, well, yeah,
Ask
ask
it.
him what's popular
Hey, I'm
for.
Dan Portek. I do video production. I do high-end video production, very high quality stuff. And I have a bunch of podcast listeners who do video production and marketing, and we use video for marketing. What should I tell me everything you know about that, and tell me what I should be asking you about this
That's a great
ChatGPT,
idea.
and
That
it'll
is
tell
great.
you, right? It'll tell you and say, hey, you should know this, you should know this, you should know this. And not only should you be asking ChatGPT this, but let me give you even a better pro tip. You should be asking Bing Chat this. And when Google
Remember
comes
that
out, you
one.
should be asking Google this. So if you don't know, Bing has adopted a similar ChatGPT. It's not technically behind the scenes, it's not ChatGPT. It's a wholly different technology, but I'll just say it's ChatGPT. They've taken their own ChatGPT called Prometheus. And if you know the story of the Titan who stole fire from the gods to give it to humans because he took pity on them, and the gods were a little pissed off at Prometheus for doing this, and so they strapped him to it's a standard Greek myth, terrible terrible fairy tales, right? They strapped him to a rock and had an eagle peck out his liver every 24 hours as punishment because the gods didn't want that trick of fire being given to humans. This is what Microsoft decided to call their AI, Prometheus, right? So that it's like it's taking that knowledge from the ether, it's taking that magical knowledge from the gods and giving it to people. Anyway, this is the basis of Bing Chat now, and I've been playing it with it for the last month. And Bing Chat would be even better to do that idea I just mentioned of telling it, hey, I'm Dan Portek. I do high-end video production. I have a bunch of podcast listeners. They do video production. I want to use video for marketing. What should we know, and what should I be asking you? What kind of prompts would be useful? And Bing Chat will tell you, and it's up to date. The reason why I say use Bing Chat and then use Google when Google releases it is because they're going to be up to date to the last minute.
Wow,
Whereas
versus, yeah.
ChatGPT, they have to train it on a corpus. I said it was generative pre-trained transformer. So pre-trained means they have to take a snapshot of the internet at, like, say, October 2021, which is what they did. And that's the date that ChatGPT thinks it is. Like, they do some magic in the back end so that the chatbot knows it's the current date. But in terms of everything it's memorized, it is flash frozen at 2021. So that would still work for you, because I don't know how much video has changed in the last 2 years. But who knows? Maybe it has changed tremendously in the last 2 years. And let me tell you a way in which it could have changed in the last 2 years is now they're doing text prompt completion to video production.
Right.
And that is going to tremendously change everything you're doing, Dan.
Yeah.
Now, it's not there yet. It's still in the very infancy stages. And I believe that Midjourney, in my opinion, if you've heard of it, is the top AI for text prompt to image generation. And it runs on Discord, of all things. It's super annoying to use,
Yeah.
but is the most beautiful art off of there. And I could show you some examples if you want to see them, some of the beautiful art that comes off of Midjourney. I heard from a little birdie that they're thinking of getting into video production. And if they do, you'll add in a text, and then Unreal also has the Unreal Engine for video games,
Yeah.
and for movies as well, also has an open source platform where they're getting into AI as well. So either Unreal is going to come out, or Midjourney, in my opinion, is going to come out, or maybe a competitor with a text to beautiful video production. Like you'd be like,
Yeah, yeah.
I want a commercial of a woman diving into a pool, and she comes up and she says, buy Dior perfume or whatever. It'll do that like that. It'll
Yeah.
come up. And even if it's not production quality, which very soon it will be, and at the very least, you can get ideas. You can get 10 ideas to send to your clients like this and say, which commercial do you want us to make? And they're
Right,
like, okay,
right.
here, this, or which one do you want to do, like, for yourself? And
Yeah,
then you
that's
can
a good
just,
idea.
now you can produce it using your own skills. And so that's why I would use Bing Chat and Google Chat for that, because they're going to be up to the date, relevant. Whereas ChatGPT is a little bit smarter and more user-friendly, but it's only flash frozen up to 2021. So these are crazy things that are going on, Dan, and my mind is exploding with the
Well, that's right.
possibilities.
Well, I'm gonna dial it back just a hair for my average guys here, because a lot of this might be going a little over their head.
Sure, I can explain any of that.
That's good. No, it's great. I think one of the things that we some of the really basic questions that I think come out of this are like, for example, YouTube Shorts. Why are they getting such great? Just out of the blue, if you make a YouTube short, it gets 500 or 1,000 organic hits.
Yeah.
So what's the trick to that? I mean, how's that happen?
That's a great question. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to give you what I think my answer is as a fairly expert marketer of 20 years experience and also being on YouTube quite a bit. But I'm going to ask Bing Chat what it thinks and sees what it says, and we're going to compare the answers. How about
Oh,
that?
love it. Okay.
Okay. Why do YouTube Shorts? I have to make sure I spell it right. Now here's the problem is I'm a terrible typer. Get so many views. Okay, so I asked Bing Chat. It's going to come up with an answer. In my opinion, it's pretty simple. It's because the same thing applies for YouTube videos, is that people have an average watch time on average, and they want it shorter. Everybody wants McDonald's information. Everyone wants it shorter. Everyone wants the best information right in the first, 50 seconds. No one wants to watch a 10-minute tutorial. Very few people want to watch a 10-minute tutorial, or even I've done a 2-hour tutorial. And I'm getting 1400 views, 2000 views, 3000 views, which is way down from my 30,000 normal, right? And that's all because it's 2 hours long. Like, so some people want that deep dive, but most people are not going to. And just the addictive nature of shorts and the way that we're getting everyone is getting trained. You talked about pre-trained AIs. We're pre-trained AIs, and we're getting trained to shorter videos. Our attention span is less. And TikToks, this is their entire model, right? And so I think psychologically, it's pretty simple to see why shorts are getting so many views. It's because they just keep coming up one after another, and we just zone out. We're just watching them, and as long as they're short and they're edible, so to speak, I think that's the reason why people see them.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Good, good.
But now hold on, let's see what Bing said. Do
All
you
right.
mind if I read this
No, go
out?
ahead.
So it says YouTube Shorts are short vertical videos that can be watched on the YouTube app. They are designed to compete with other platforms like TikTok and Instagram Reels. According to some sources, YouTube Shorts can get more views because, one, YouTube has a huge user base of over 2 billion monthly active users who can discover Shorts through various features. YouTube has a dedicated fund of 100 million to reward creators who make original and engaging short content. Creators can earn a bonus each month of $100 to $10,000 from YouTube Shorts, from this YouTube Shorts fund. Apparently, it gives me a link to prove that. I'd have to click to prove that. Or become eligible for the YouTube Partner Program after getting 10 million short views in 90 days. The YouTube's algorithm is unpredictable and volatile when it comes to shorts. Sometimes a short may get only a few views in the first 24 hours, and then suddenly hundreds of thousands of views in under an hour. The key is to keep creating and promoting high quality content. Eventually, your shorts will get the views they deserve. So that's what Bing
Okay.
says. I liked my answer better.
Well, hey, no, but you get a lot of information from it, which is great, you know?
Yes, it saved me so many hours of research, Dan. You have no idea how much it saved. And there's a downside though. if you want to hear the downside. And this does apply to marketing. Guess how many web pages after using Bing Chat for a month, and they cite all those sources. There's like a bunch of citations in there. I can share the screen if you want to see it. Guess how many web pages I've visited from Bing Chat from using it for a month. And I've done at least 100 different queries to it. Guess how many web pages I've visited?
How many?
Zero. I've gone to exactly zero web pages because why would I bother? I'm using the AI to be quick and I don't want to check to make sure the AI did its homework properly.
Yeah.
So that was the first time I was like, huh, I doubted the answer and I might actually click a web page just to confirm that they got it right. I actually happened to ask ChatGPT the same question and it gave a much better answer.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Do you mind if I read it out?
Sure. No, go ahead.
And note that it agrees with me. So that's why I think it's a much greater answer.
Okay, great.
The main reason. It said there are several reasons. One, short and attention grabbing. Mm-hmm. YouTube shorts are short, often just a few seconds to 1 minute long, and they are designed to be attention grabbing.
Yeah.
People are more likely to watch a short video than a longer one, especially if it's visually engaging. You also notice a lot of shorts have very attractive people in them. That doesn't hurt either, right?
Right.
Mobile friendly. They have algorithmic promotion. And social media sharing. Shorts are also very shareable on social media platforms like Instagram.
They
can more easily go viral. So that's what I would think. So you see also the quality of difference between ChatGPT and Bing Chat as well. So if there's any...
The funny thing is, we put these things up and it just shocked me. Usually you get like 40 or 50 hits. And we put one up and I got 1,100 hits in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy,
Especially someone talented like yourself who knows how to do video production. You're going to have a huge competitive advantage over, all the kids just, filming something with their phone and it's shaky and the lighting is terrible and whatnot.
Right, right.
That's where I think AI is really going to help people. I see some people are going to lose their jobs. Yes. And some Betamax is going to move over to VHS and some VHS is going to move to DVD. That's going to happen for sure.
Right.
But would any of us want to go back to VHS?
I don't think
the answer is yes, right?
No,
I think all these tools, I think creative people like yourself and the people listening to your podcast are going to take these tools and run with them. And they're going to be able to do so much more, so much faster that if they can't charge, let me give you an example. My wife and I are writing a novel and it's a sci-fi fantasy novel and we want to beautify it. We want to have some more kind of graphic novel elements to it, even though it's a full novel. And instead of hiring an artist for $5,000 on Upwork to do all the art and everything, I hired one for $5,000 for the project to do it. Instead of hiring someone for $5,000 for the project to do it, I hired someone for $500 for the project to do it. But they can do it on Midjourney in a tenth of the time.
Yeah.
So that means they just cram in more projects, right? And they can build more beautiful things that much faster.
Yeah.
I really see it as a tool. Like Photoshop didn't kill anyone's design job. It enabled their design job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Text to video production. I don't see killing anyone's video production job. It's such a high talent niche, high skill barrier to entry. Anyway, all I see that is opening things up for you guys and making video production that much easier.
Well, and I think that's with anything. If you look at the way people are doing things, just knowing where to get things, knowing where to get the knowledge, those who have the information are the ones that are going to win in this situation.
Yes.
And those, I remember, and this is a story just from way back. when I started in this business, there were no computers, believe it or not. There were animation cameras and film slide things. So I had a partner and he had a slide machine. It was called an animation machine. Took up the size of a room. And if you wanted to make a slide, that you shot a photo of, stuff through and it goes on the wall, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And put a little streak in it. You needed this huge machine that would expose things differently. So I had three partners. He was one of them. And I had another one that was more into, hey, we got a 286 coming out next month. We need to get on top of this,
Yes.
So him and I said
the 286 computer.
Yeah. When it came out, we're like, wow, PageMaker. Whoa, this is amazing. So right before it came out, we said, dude, you got to get rid of this animation camera. You paid $40,000 for it. You got two of them. Okay.
Yes.
It's not going to be worth anything. And he's like, no, this is here to stay. He had like Firestone and like they're just throwing him slides constantly,
Oh my goodness.
I know. And so I'll be darned, he went down with the ship. It's like he had
oh,
these
no.
things. the walls around him are worth more than the machine, you know, the drywall. And it was just sad, you know, seeing that happen. And you scrap both of them, you know, you should have just got rid of them at the time. And that was the same with digital cameras and everything else, you know, when it came out. But yet, so this is like the next level. This is
It
where we're
is.
at.
AI is going to be as big as the internet and smartphones combined.
Right, exactly. So
Easily.
one of the other questions that I was going to ask, and we talked to a ton of podcasters, and I would say the majority of them, they're working on their editing, they're working on doing their marketing to these things. But the big question is, how do I get more downloads? How do I get more subscribers? By far, that's 95% of the people I talk to ask me that question. We know the traditional ways, you know, get in front of people, go on other people's shows, things like that. But what would be some of the technical ways that they could do this on their own, let's say, or with the help of someone like yourself?
Sure. So I'm going to do the same methodology. So I'm going to ask Bing Chat, and I'm going to ask ChatGPT, and then I'm going to give my answer too, and we can compare them, because that's one of my answers is brainstorm on ChatGPT and Bing Chat how you can do this. Would be one of my answers. So let me ask. So how do I get more views? Is there any particular niche or any particular business we want to focus on?
You know what? They're all over the place. To be honest with you. You know,
Sure.
motivational speakers. They, you know, how do I make my, you know, people that ask how to be a better me, you know, that type of thing.
Okay, so I asked, how do I get more views and subscribers on my YouTube channel? Is that analogous to what we're talking about?
I would think try. Can you do podcasts on my podcast?
Sure.
More subscribers on my podcast, or downloads would be another thing. They all want downloads because that equates to money.
Okay, so we'll do podcasts instead. Videos, views, subscribers, and downloads on my podcasts. And is there a particular topic that the podcasts are about, or it's all across the board?
I would say motivation, like, you know, self-help would be a good one. That's seems to be
About
popular.
self-help or motivational speaking. That's what we're going to do.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to ask that to Bing Chat. Because the more precise information, so here's a good pro tip. The more precise information you can give Bing Chat and ChatGPT, the more precise recommended it's going to give to you. And you can keep talking to it like a person and ask it to drill down and ask it to explain. You don't have to ask, it's just not a one and done. It could be a one and done, but you can keep asking. So I've asked that to Bing Chat. I'm going to go over here and ask that to ChatGPT. And so my answer on how to get more views and subscribers and downloads on your podcasts that are specifically about self-help or motivational speaking, and I might take a couple steps back on that and just do it more broadly. I mean, obviously you have to provide value, right? There has to be, psychologically speaking, my master's degree and my PhD that I was working on was in philosophy and psychology. And so the social psychology on this is pretty interesting, is that you have to increase the value past any perceived negatives to consuming the media. So that includes the clicks, that includes the having to search and find it. You have to obviously have something engaging. Clickbaity doesn't hurt. You have to provide the value. The videos on my YouTube channel that get the most views are ones where it's a short, pithy title, ones where they're seeing what they're going to get right away in the title. That's going to hook them and grab them. You got to know the hook of what they want. I have two other podcasts I run. One is called Hack Your Brain with Meditation and Comic Versus Philosopher. And both of these have now dovetailed into a podcast I call Secret Truths. And that's where I do more philosophy, because I studied philosophy and psychology in my academic life, as I mentioned. And then the YouTube is more SEO and AI, right? And you got to know your audiences. You got to know what they like. You got to know what they want. You got to know how they think. And you got to wrap that into the pithy title, into a short, attention-grabbing title. I like using questions in my title. For example, let me just look for you here. I'll go into my Buzzsprout. I use Buzzsprout to manage all my podcast stuff. On my comic versus philosopher, on my comic versus philosopher podcast, the most downloads I've ever gotten, and again, I'm not proud of these numbers. These are smaller numbers I'm doing for a hobby, for fun. The most downloads I've ever gotten on my comic versus philosopher podcast is back in COVID. What I did is it was a COVID project, and what I did is I got onto Cameo, and I paid the $40 or the $50 or the $200. Even though it's against Cameo's terms of service, you're not supposed to do this. And I asked the celebrities, would you come on my podcast? And if not, slag me off and tell me why I suck. And so I got something out of it either way, right?
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I had such beautiful comics that have now sadly passed away. Some of them, like Gilbert Gottfried, I got him to slack me off and we had him on the podcast. He's telling, Josh, you suck. He's going up. It was the nice. Funniest thing in the world. Yeah. I had another one who passed away recently. He was on Full House. I can't remember his name. Bob Saget.
Oh,
Bob
yeah.
Saget laid into us for 2 minutes. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Nice.
And so we put that on the podcast. So those ones are getting a few hundred views. The best one I had was What Is Funny with Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway.
I love that guy. He's great.
He is a great guy. I had him on the podcast and I got 324 views with that one. In total for this podcast, I usually get on average maybe 30 downloads for this. And it's because I've got questions in here that I think people would find interesting. And I also have big names, obviously from the celebrities.
Yeah.
Having a celebrity on your podcast doesn't hurt, of course. That's how you get the big downloads. And it's against Cameo's terms of service, but I give it out there as a pro tip. Use it.
Yeah.
Use it until Cameo kicks you off, right? All you can do, just word it in such a way that you can use the content even if they don't, you know, like, and there's, I'm not a lawyer. I can't give legal advice. There's some legal issues there. They could sue you. So be careful. It's against Cameo's terms of service. Mm-hmm. So if they say no, don't use it. But if they say yes, like don't be stupid like me and use it anyway. Yeah. But if they say yes, great, have them on and have their name in the title is what I would recommend.
Yeah.
And so know your audience, have a short, pithy title, keep the episodes to the a good length. Even the podcast, a lot of people, you know, like I'm slightly autistic and so I don't get it. Like if there's a podcast I want to hear and it's more than, if it's an hour and I only have half an hour to listen, I'll just pause it. And I'll come back to the podcast.
Do it later. Right?
But everyone else I talk to, they don't do this. They're like, oh, it's an hour. I only have half an hour. And they decide not to listen to it.
Right, right.
So I think that's more neurotypical. I think more people are like that, which is perfectly fine. It's nothing's right or wrong. It's just you have to do it for your listeners.
Yeah.
I would have the podcast shorter. And then if you make your podcasts or your shows shorter, then you could have part one, part two, part three. You have more podcasts.
Right,
that you can do over more time. And so your production costs go down, right?
Right, right.
Another thing a lot of these podcasts do, which I was very happy that Dan didn't do. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention this. You can cut this out, Dan, if you don't want to. But a lot of podcasts charge you to be on.
Oh, right.
They're charging me to go on the podcast when I'm the guy that, you know, ostensibly maybe has something interesting to add to the podcast.
Yeah.
I've never charged a person in my life to be on the podcast. I paid celebrities to be on my podcast. I gladly paid Colin Mockery the amount I paid him to be on my podcast. I also had a few other minor celebrities on there too.
Yeah.
Kristen Key is another fairly big name in the LGBTQ community as well. She was on one of the comedy shows, Last Comic Standing, I believe she was on as well. So that's another thing you can do as well. A lot of people will pay $50 for that. So do we want to see, Dan, what Bing Chat and ChatGPT said?
Hmm?
Do you want to
let's hear that really quick.
Okay, so Bing Chat said, hello, this is Bing. I can help you with some tips on how to get more views and subscribers and downloads on your podcast. According to one source, some of the ways to market your podcast are interview people with engaged audiences. So yeah, have more people on there that you're attaching to their social media following. And that only helps you though, if they decide to tweet it out. Like if they don't actually tell their social media following they're on it, that's not going to help you in any way. So you have to specifically ask for that because you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. And you know what I found also helps in that is give the person that's on your podcast, give them the tools.
Yes.
So make your own YouTube shorts, send them to them so they don't have to do anything but put them out. Right.
Exactly.
That's the easiest
way. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's leveraging your talents, Dan, because you can make videos very quickly because you know what you're doing.
So we do.
You definitely should be leveraging your talents and doing that. It says create timely episodes. Oh, that's a great suggestion. I forgot.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why I'm blowing up right now is because I'm all over ChatGPT and ChatGPT is the next big thing.
Yeah.
Right. I avoided NFTs like the plague because I thought it was a scam and I was proven right. At least for the graphics, the images. I fully apologize to anyone out there who got bit by that. I take no pride in saying that. I have a ski on the end of my name. I'm very cheap. So that's where that came from, right?
Yeah.
It says make video snippets to share on social media, which is exactly what Dan just expertly said. Make shareable content based off your episodes. Yeah, same deal. Promote episodes regularly on social media. Yes, that's the other thing, is regularity. Yeah. You gotta do it weekly.
Right.
It has to be on the same time every time. And your viewers, your listeners, they do expect you at that time, and they go looking for you at that time.
Yeah.
I've broken my YouTube channel 3 or 4 times by breaking the amount I post and breaking when I post. And I had to build it back up. I was getting 5,000 views regular 5 years ago, and then I stopped doing it because I got lazy, and then I was back down to like 50 views.
Yeah.
Then 500 views. I had to build it back up. It's just the way that it works.
Okay, great, great. I'm gonna do this like a TV commercial. So we got 2 minutes left.
So, yeah, sure.
So I'm like, in 2 minutes, can you tell me how you got so many views on your YouTube channel? So many subscribers.
Really, it's the same thing. I've been doing it for so long. Keep producing value. Ask them to subscribe in the video. You have to do the call to action. You have to say, please remember to like and subscribe. If you like this content, please subscribe. It keeps me going. I really appreciate it. You know, and everything I said previously for the last answer as well, that's really what you have to do. Dan, you mind if I pause 1 second? I just realized I'm over time for another meeting.
Yeah, no, it actually works fine because they're going to start drilling in 2 minutes. So, so I'm just going to wrap it up with the end, if that's all right. And we'll get you back on another time for some other things, for sure.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, great. So from our end, I think we're good today, and I really appreciate you coming on. This has been some really, blew my mind, and I think it will with a lot of our customers as well, or viewers. So how can people reach you?
If you want to reach me, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/jbachins, jbachyns. I can't remember my own YouTube channel. youtube.com/jbachyns, jbachyns. Check me out there, watch my videos, and you can contact me. I see every single chat. I see every single comment. Go ahead and contact me from there, and I'd love to help you out. And remember,
next time I think we'll do
AI.
Yeah, we'll do it next time you're on. We'll do a deep dive into like the YouTube thing, because I have some other questions I ask about YouTube handles and things like that, which we can get involved with. So, hey, great! Thanks so much for being on, and I'll be talking to you soon.
All right, my pleasure, Darren.
Take care. Bye bye.
Visit bbsfilmproductions.com or email info@bbsfilmproductions.com to find out more.
Let's face it, everybody loves to make podcasts and vodcasts, but nobody wants to edit them. Well, except for us. At Premier Podcast Productions, we professionally edit and distribute podcasts and vodcasts for companies around the world. Our process is simple and affordable, allowing you to stay focused on what you do best, developing great content and building your subscriber base. From recording and editing to final distribution and marketing, we can help every step of the way to make your podcast stand out and get the results it deserves. Contact us today at premierpodcastpros.com to take your podcast to the next level.